This morning we're looking at a very famous portion of Scripture for Christmas time. It's found in the first chapter of Luke, and if you would open up your Bibles, if you have them there with you, if not, we'll go ahead and put these words up on the screen. But starting in verse 26 of Luke chapter 1, we read this, that in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found what? Favor with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Praise the Lord. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." Let me just pause right there. You know, one of the things we note about Mary is that she was a woman of faith. She was a woman of faith. In fact, next Sunday morning when we gather together on Christmas, we're going to be looking at just a little bit more of her faith and how we see this alive in her life. But this question that she asks is not a question of disbelief. It was a question of like, "Let's bring it on. Just tell me how this is going to happen. Angel, you know that I'm a virgin." Okay, so this whole child within me concept, I believe that, so tell me how this is going to be. And it's actually a statement of faith. It's like when God prompts something in your heart and you say, "Yes, God, how do you want me to do that? How do you want me to go about this next step in my journey?" So I love that about her, that she was a woman of faith. "How will this be?" Mary asked. "Since I'm a virgin, just let me know, because here we go." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." In the final verse, verse 38, is Mary's beautiful response. I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. One of the things that we see two times in this little passage about Mary is that it says that she was favored. In fact, in verse 28 there, it says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." Highly favored. The Lord is with you. And then again in verse 30, we read, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." This term, highly favored, being a highly favored individual, really it means to be blessed with much grace. To be blessed with much grace. Highly favored. This idea of being highly favored is actually that exact term is found only one other place in the entire New Testament. And it's found in Ephesians 1:6. And it says this, "So we who praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son." So we praise God for this glorious grace. Glorious grace. Everybody say that. Glorious grace that he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. That idea of this glorious grace is the same thing when the angel came and said, you, Mary, are highly favored. There's this glorious grace that you are blessed with. But I want you to see something here in this idea in Ephesians chapter 1. We praise God for the glorious grace he's poured out on who? On us. All of us. You and me. We have had this glorious grace. The same exact thing that the angel spoke to Mary can be true of us as well. This glorious grace poured out upon all of us who belong to his dear son, to Jesus. If we belong to Jesus, are there any people in here who belong to Jesus? Yes. Who surrendered your lives to Jesus? Let me tell you, guess what? Just like Mary, you are highly favored. Highly favored. You have been blessed with this glory, the same, catch this, the same glorious grace that Mary was blessed with. You've got it too. You've got it too. I love that. But when we look at our lives, probably most of us would recognize, I ain't no Mary. I may be highly favored with the same glorious grace that she was favored with, but guess what? I ain't no Mary. Huh? See, because we recognize that there was something really special about this woman of God named Mary. Something that was unique about her life. Something that set her apart. Something about the way that she walked in this favor, this grace of God, that caused her to stand apart. In fact, when we read the Christmas story and we come across the very next portion where she goes and spends time with her Aunt Elizabeth, we know that when they come into meeting each other, Elizabeth declares this about Mary, blessed are you among women. See, there was the same grace in her life that you and I have. But there was something of her walking in God's favor that was unique for her. But it's something that I believe that we can discover how we may walk in that same reality of God's favor. There was something about the way that she lived her life that grabbed God's attention. In John chapter 4, and Jesus is talking about worship, he says that God is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. See, God is watching. He's watchful. He's mindful. He's aware of how we're living our lives, the choices that we're making. Now, if we've surrendered our lives to Jesus and we are his, then guess what? The same great grace is upon us that was on Mary. But Mary lived in such a way that unlocked something of God's favor that was unique, that was special. See, Mary, because of the way that she walked, God invited her to actually participate in the very activity of God. See, that is God's favor. You might ask, what is this favor? God's favor is this. It's being chosen to participate in his redemptive plan. That's what God's favor is. It's living in such a way that God would look and say, you know what, I can use you in my redemptive plan for the world. That's how Mary lived, in such a way that God was able to look at this very young lady. Many scholars believe that she may have not been more than 13 or 14 years old. But she lived in such a way that she was walking in this favor. This favor, meaning that God could choose her to participate in his redemptive plan. See, God's favor is not about living like the easy life. I'm favored, so I have no problems. I am favored of God, and so all my bills are paid on time, and there's extra in the bank. I never have to call him for a sick day because I am favored. No. See, that's not what God's word tells us. And in fact, this woman who God declared was highly favored, when you think about her life, you might go, oh, wait a second. This one who is highly favored also had to stand and watch this son that was now being born within her by the power of the Holy Spirit. She had to watch him be stripped, beaten, betrayed, carry his own cross, and then be executed publicly, humiliated in agony on that cross. And we know from Scripture that she was there at the cross. Favor. Favor is not about living an easy life. In fact, favor, living in such a way that we get to be chosen to participate in God's plan of redemption, we would say, well, okay, that also describes the disciples, right? I mean, they lived in such a way that Jesus chose them to participate in his plan of redemption for the world, right? They were favored. But when you look at their lives and when you hear their stories, and what we learn through history is that out of the 11 disciples that made it all the way to the end, we're taking Judas out of that number, but out of the 11 that made it to the end, that 10 of the 11 died very, very violent deaths. And the one who didn't die a violent death, they tried to kill him. They tried to boil him in oil, okay? Didn't die. Okay, miraculously saved. But guess what? He was imprisoned in isolation. It was John. From isolation is where he wrote the book of Revelation. Can I tell you this? That God's favor doesn't mean that we live the easy life. What it does mean, though, is that we get to participate in the very activity of God's redemptive plan, which is amazing. Just amazing. But after hearing this, you might go, well, wait a second. Why would I want to be highly favored? Why? What? Really? You're not preaching too good. If you're expecting me to say, I want to be highly favored of God, and that's the reality. But, you know, you may ask that question, why would anyone want this kind of favor? But here's part of, I think, what's an answer. Because being used by God to fulfill his plan is far better than me using God to fulfill my plan. Let me say that again. Being used by God in the fulfillment of his plan is far better than me using God or anything else to try to fulfill my plan. How many of you know that when we execute our plans, when they're not God's plans, a lot of times they go belly up really quick? They're not very good. They're filled with trouble, a lot of pain, a lot of brokenness when we're just trying to initiate our plan instead of God's plan. See, when we say, God, we want to be favored to be used in your redemptive plan, it's an acknowledgement that, you know what, all of our journeys are going to be challenging. Whether we're walking in God's favor or we're trying to execute our own plan and live out our own way, guess what? All of our journeys are going to be challenging. There's going to be pain for all people. God's word is really clear about that. Being favored is not a way to avoid pain. It's to acknowledge that, you know what, all of our lives are going to be challenging and have some pain. So I would rather partner with God. I would rather partner with him. It makes the journey so much more worthwhile when I know that I am being obedient and surrendered to him. See, walking in this kind of favor is living a life with no regrets. When we live in a way that we're trying to follow our plans, guess what? We live a life that ends up being filled with regrets. But when I say, God, no, I want to be used in your plan, in your way, then even when it's challenging, we can turn around and say, but no regrets. How many of you want to live a life without regret? Whew. That's a life of favor. See, it's knowing that I'm using all God has given me to make him greater. His love, his gospel, his power, his presence, bringing that rather than my own agenda. See, walking in this kind of favor acknowledges that while my life on earth, yep, it's going to have some challenges and pain, I understand that my reward is actually in heaven. It's actually in heaven. Do you remember what Jesus said? Hey, why would you work so hard? Why would you sweat just to build up treasures on earth? Right? Where the moth comes and destroys, where rust comes and ruins stuff, and even where people are going to come and rip you off. See, that's walking outside of God's favor. But he said this. He said, why don't you go ahead and work for me and store up treasures in heaven? See, walking in God's favor is this realization that, hey, life is going to be challenging, and so why try to work for all the stuff that's just going to accumulate here and then be taken by others? Why not work for him? No regrets, and my treasures are in heaven. So what do we see in this passage that caused God to declare, Mary, I can use you. You are highly favored. I can use you in my plan. I believe that we see in Mary complete surrender to his plan. And we see this in two very distinct ways. Her surrender to his plan. First, we see it in her virginity. We know that Mary's sexual purity is an important part of the story, right? Many hundreds of years before Mary and Joseph came along, the prophet Isaiah declared this, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." A sign. There was this special thing that was being prophetically carried out because Mary kept herself pure sexually. It allowed her to be used by God in his redemptive plan. See, Mary's virginity, in that we see that she lived a life that was surrendered to God's, what I would call God's general plan for her life. God's word tells us that we're to live sexually pure. Okay? It wasn't a specific thing for Mary. Mary, you're the only one who has to retain sexual purity. No, this was just God's general plan. Hey, when we live sexually pure, we're operating in a way that is like saying, God, I surrender myself to your plan. There are times I'd rather live according to my own plan, sexually speaking. I'd rather go that direction, or I'd rather look at this. I'd rather click on that website. I'd rather do whatever, right? No, but see, when we live sexually pure, we're surrendering to God's general plan. It's not specific for you. It's not specific for me. It's not that God's picking on you. It's not God was picking on Mary. We all have certain characteristics about us because we're human, right? Desire for sexual intimacy is one of those that God put within us. But when we surrender that to the Lord and say, God, we're going to live pure, that's surrendering to God's, is his general plan for all of us. And we see in this story first that we know that Mary was someone who was surrendered to God's general plan for her life because she was a virgin. Someone who could walk in God's favor because she was surrendered to his plan. That's tough. It's tough to surrender to God's plan because we know it's a lot more than just our sexuality. It has to do with all the different areas, all the different ways of our lives surrendering to his plan. And it's hard for us in our Western culture and being Americans because we want to be free. Don't tread on me, right? It's like, I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. If you've watched TV any time in the past month, Toyota has picked up on this very American ideal and has stolen the lyrics, the partial lyrics from a song, "You Don't Own Me," right? "You Don't Own Me." And it kind of like, it's kind of fun because, you know, it's like this woman, you know, like saying, "Screw you" to her boss, you know, like, "You can't make me do it. I'm going to go do my own thing." But you know what I'm telling you? It strikes a chord within all of us because all of us have a little bit of that within us. Come on. There are times when all of us, I don't know if I can say this in church. I don't know. All of us kind of want to give a finger to the man, right? Okay, I said that really fast. I mean, listen, there's something within all of us, but I want to just tell you something. That is inherent within all of us, that we want to do our own thing, the way we want to do it, when we want it. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to say. Okay, all right, let's stop that. Okay. All right, listen. But see, some of us in our heart of hearts, that's kind of our anthem. It's kind of an anti-worship song. It's an anti-worship sentiment. See, because true worship is this life of surrender. It's this life that says, God, you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are not a God with a small g. No, you're God with a big G. You are God of the universe, and you are my God. So I surrender my plans to yours. God, you own me. Come on. That is the song and anthem of worship. That is the song and anthem that I believe was embodied by this woman, Mary. God, I don't know what's all in front of me, and I know this is going to be challenging. I know that this is the harder path, but I choose to be surrendered to your general will. See, because her virginity, I believe, is kind of like coded language. Virginity, coded language for this, that she was living pure in all the areas of her life. It wasn't just sexually. She was one who was surrendered. God's word has many kinds of things that express to us his general will for us. It's why we need to spend time in his word, because his plan is really well laid out. Right? Don't be a liar. Don't be a cheat. Don't go after someone else's wife. Don't take what's not yours. Love your neighbor. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Listen, we know what God's general will is. It ain't specific, right, for you. It's for all of us. It's the way we should live. And in Mary's life, we see that she was surrendered to the general will of God in her life. But I want to tell you something. When we live surrendered to God's general will, and this is the second part of Mary's story, we get to experience his specific will. It goes from the general to the specific. See, because God doesn't just have a plan for all of humanity, he has a plan for you. Leo, God's got a plan for you. And big Leo, God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for you. Not just for all of humanity in general, but for you and me specifically. And when we surrender to God's general plan, there's this other level that I believe that Mary was walking in that allowed her to participate so powerfully in God's redemptive plan. See, this isn't about salvation, you guys. This is about being able to participate in his plan. See, her surrender to God's specific plan in her life was declared in that beautiful statement that concludes that portion of scripture. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. The very specific thing that Mary, I've chosen you to carry my son. I have chosen you to play a very specific part in my redemptive plan for all of humanity, Mary. And Mary says, I am your servant. I am available to do this very thing that you created me for. See, if Mary had not been surrendered to the general will of God for her life, they would have never gotten to the specific plan for her life. Man, that's favor. There are many followers of Jesus who are good with God's general rules, right? Hey, I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't even go with girls who do. Right? I'm a good guy, right? I'm a good guy. But then they get to God's specific call for their life. God, way too much. I could never do that. And they fail to get to walk into God's, I believe, his great favor because they say no to God's unique call upon them. As soon as it becomes overly challenging, overly costly, overly complicated, very uncomfortable, they politely decline God's prompting. Oh God, I'm sure you have somebody better in mind for that. Oh God, you know my brother, he speaks way better than I do. I could never do that. That was Moses, right? Trying to squirm out for God's unique call on his life. So many of us deal with that kind of thinking that, like, God, I want to follow you. I'll like follow your general plan for all of humanity, but don't get too specific. But I'm going to tell you that those who surrender their lives not only to the general plan of God for their life, they get to find out, God, what have you created me for uniquely, specifically? I believe those are the ones, when they surrender to God's not his general plan, but his specific plan, that they get to walk in God's full favor. Not an easy life, but one with no regrets and a lot of fruitfulness, even as Mary did. I want to invite another lady to come on up. One who is, I believe, someone who is experiencing getting to walk in God's favor because her life is surrendered, not just to God's general plan for her life, but God's specific plan and direction. And it is my dear sister, Liz Gutierrez. Would you welcome Liz? I think this should be coming on here. It helps if I turn it on. There you go. So those of you that don't know Liz real well, Liz has been a part of Santa Maria Foursquare for decades and has been on staff here since 1988. 28 years. And in the past seasons, God has stirred some different things in your heart. I want you to get to share with our church family about that, your church family.
Okay. Where do you want me to start? This is
where your story. You get to start wherever you want to start.
Well, so. I will say that the story starts actually with PCPA Theater and a play that I observed, and it was Godspell. And
this was some years ago.
This was probably 5 or 6 years ago. And the way that Jesus was portrayed in that story, Jesus spoke to the people in just in a common way. He spoke their language. It was with love and compassion for them. But my nature is one to be a debater. And when I walked away from that story, I was greatly impacted, and I said, Lord, I want to talk to people that way. I want your love to shine through. I want, when I talk with them, I want it to be one filled with compassion. It was very impacting, just on me personally, walking away from that. Shortly after that, I had a dream. And in this dream, it seems unrelated, but the story will come together at the end. It was probably just a few weeks after that I had a dream, and in this dream I was in a room that in the dream I thought was a foreign place because the people in there were foreign to me. And I was just talking with them about life, things, simple truths of life, just saying like, but have you thought about this and have you thought about that? And I knew that the people were... The best way I know to describe it is they were above me. They were of influence and of worldly wisdom and knowledge and education. And I got up in the room to walk out and continued speaking with these people. And as I did, I just noticed in the dream that the walls were filled, lined with books, like you would see in a lawyer's office. And as I got up and walked out of the room, I was speaking with one person here, and there was another person on the side. And I walked out of the doors, and I walked through an exterior corridor that was, the dream's very vivid. I can still see the picture. It was with they were arched ways. And as I was speaking, and the people were just kind of nodding, I kind of glanced back over my shoulder and looked back and realized there was a line of people listening to our conversation. And I woke up. And it's one of those dreams that are so real that when you wake up, you say, where am I? What was this? Where am I? And as I contemplated the dream shortly after, I believed that the books represented a place of higher learning, and that the foreigners were just people who were foreign to me. It was people I didn't know.
Mm.
So that's...
So God planted that over the past years in your life.
Yes.
This desire to be like him.
Yes.
Loving people in a very unique and powerful way. And then he gives you this dream about being with people you didn't know. And so then we kind of fast forward that just to the past weeks, and you received a particular invitation.
And I did, and I'm going to come halfway between that time.
Please.
And about a year and a half ago, I made a trip to my sister's office, and I can't remember why I had to stop.
Where does she work?
She works at Loras College, and as I went into the office, and when I drove around the back of the building, you can't see it from the front, but I drove around the back and I looked and I thought, I've always admired the building. I thought, oh, they have, how pretty those archways are. And but separately, as I walked out of the office, I realized, oh my goodness, these are the arches in my dream.
Wow.
And okay, so that happened a while back. And I thought, God, what is that? What's the connection? And recently, there was opportunity given to me to meet with the founder of the college and owner, it's family owned, and founder of the college. And shortly afterward, I received a phone call and an offer to come to work with him.
Wow. That is tremendous.
And I shared the dream with him.
Whoa.
Completely, I thought, why am I even saying this? It sounds so crazy to someone who may not even understand something like this. Yeah. But the dream had a great impact on them, I found out later.
Wow. Praise the Lord. And so not only did you receive an invitation, but you responded.
I accepted the offer. And even though on paper it does not make sense, this is a big leap of faith for me. Financially, first of all, but also because this is a place of comfort for me. This is definitely home to me. I am comfortable here. It will be a new challenge for me, and for many reasons, it's a big step of faith.
Listen, God's favor, I believe, is upon those who don't just generally surrender their lives to his will, but when they sense God's specific direction, that they say, God, I am your servant. May it be done unto me, even as you've said. And Liz, I believe that you are a woman of God's great favor. I already know that your life is generally surrendered to the Lord, because I've got to walk over these last couple of years with the blessing of that. This woman of God has saved my bacon. Coming in to a church where not only was I not known, but I just didn't know stuff. I mean, this is a church of great history and of great fruitfulness in our city, and has touched the lives of so many people. And Liz has literally been my lifeline over these last couple of years, because she has been able to just help me succeed where I would have just blindly stumbled forward and failed, not knowing better, right? But she's been my leash at times. You want to go this direction, right? That's not going to be helpful. And she has so graciously assisted me very personally. She's been my executive assistant for these last couple of years, and has been such a great gift, but way more than just to me. She has been a great gift to our church family. And 28 years of serving Jesus in a lot of behind-the-scenes roles. But as we talked the other day, Liz, you very specifically said that you believe that God is taking you out of your comfort zone and calling you into mission, where she is going to get to be with people, guess what, who need the love of Jesus, the touch of Jesus, and when appropriate moments arise, the word of Jesus as well, that would be able to get spoken, and people get prayed for, and relationships would be developed in a setting that's very different than ours. Would you agree? And we want to pray God's great and rich blessing over you. Not because you need it, because I believe that you get to walk in God's favor, and we're going to get to rejoice as we just hear the stories spill out of your own story about what God's doing. But we want to pray for you, because we want to get to partner with what God is doing in your story. And so I'm going to ask Kelly to come. In fact, I'm going to ask Anita to come, representing our church council as well. And let's pray for our sister. But would you, as is our custom, I want you to, if you're comfortable, I want you to extend a hand toward her, just as if you were the one that was laying hands upon her. And I'm going to anoint her with oil. And I got to pray for her already earlier this week. And I believe that there was a prophetic part to that prayer. And I'm going to pray that again in a way that we can all affirm. But what I saw was God opening up doors for her, not just for employment and not just for work, right? But doors of strategic relationship, just as you had seen in your dream. And so, God, we declare that over our sister Liz. God, would you bless? Father, would you cause her to be fruitful in whole new ways and whole new levels? Lord, as she steps out, Father, into mission. Lord, we look at all that she's done over the last 28 years, and specifically that I've gotten to see and witness and observe over the last 2 years. God, we would say that she's already been on mission, but God, now you're calling her, Father, to a whole nother level. Lord, a place, the Father, like Mary, that is new and is going to be, there's going to be some things that are uncomfortable. There's going to be some things that are going to have to be learned. They're going to have to be discerned. She's going to have to walk in new wisdom. Lord, because the old things that she knew were good for yesterday, but they're not going to cut it for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, we speak, Lord, wisdom and new insight. Mm-hmm. Father, and new power over our sister's life. Lord, that these doorways that you're opening up for her, Father, are going to be flung open by you, and that on the other side, that she's going to find people who are waiting for her to arrive. And the Lord, that when she walks in, she does not just bear the name Liz Gutierrez, although that's a really good one. In our city, in our community, in our church. But God, she's going to be bearing your name. And Lord, we declare that your name is going to get declared and raised up in all kinds of new places and in new people's lives. And Lord, we rejoice over that. Mm-hmm. Lord, we love you and we love Liz. Mm-hmm. We trust her into this next season. Mm-hmm. She and her family and her household. Liz, you are highly favored. Highly favored by the Lord. In Jesus' name, blessings. Amen. 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 We love you. We love you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're so special. Yeah. Yeah, stay up here for a moment. Just stand right there. Let the church love on you. You're loved. You're loved.